book of John. I was praying about something to challenge our graduates and to challenge all of us as we face some struggling times and as we go through life. And the Lord laid something upon my heart. I'll be sharing that with you for just a few minutes today. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. What we're going to do is we're going to read this together. I know you're behind the mask. And by the way, we do recommend that you continue to wear your mask. Having the vaccination does not guarantee that you will not contract COVID. Amen? So what we want to do in here is we want to keep everyone safe, and we ask that you wear your mask. Then again, we know that some people have been vaccinated, some have not. So we want to recognize the fact that I want to keep everyone safe, and we don't want to put you through some test coming to church, so we'll wear the mask and just be done with it. Amen? If you do have a medical reason where you cannot, of course, you're excused in that situation. But behind your mask, repeat with me verses 4 and 5. You may be reading from some other rendering, but that's okay. We're going to read it together. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts now. Help us to understand your word. Help us that we might be doers of your word, to take it in. And Lord, we might be blessed. Bless us as we go forth now. Lord, allow your word to come into our hearts and change us. Change us for the good, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have heard the phrase, get a life? Get a life. You say that. But as we think about that term, what do we really mean when we say to people, you need to get a life? And certainly, I want to challenge our young people. You need to get a life. But some questions come up. Some questions enter our mind as to, how do we get a life? And what does getting a life really mean? How will that life then benefit us in the way that we live? So I want to just leave this thought with you as we start. Life does not mean living long. Life means living well. Life does not mean living long. You may live long, but if you're not living well, you're not living. As we look at the words of Jesus and we listen to what he's telling us, Jesus is not saying to us that if you get a life, well, that means you're going to be rich. That means you're going to be famous. That means you're going to have a lot of fortune that happens to take place in your life. Getting a life is more than that. To get a life, you got to find it. You got to find it. How do you find that life? It's given to us in the scripture. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. But the darkness does not comprehend that life. Jesus said, if you're going to find a life, if you're going to get a life, then you got to find me. In him was life. In him. That's what we got to settle with. Did a little research, and I was looking at some things and wondering how long and what is the life expectancy of people. And according to the United Nations study, they're saying that the average life of people in the United States is going to be 79.33 years that you'll live. Can you guess what nation is number one as far as life expectancy? Guess what nation? And it ain't the United States. We're about 39th on the list. Someone shout out some. Close. Hong Kong. So all of us, let's move Crossroad to Hong Kong. They live about 85 years plus in that country. But again, I ask you the question, if you were living in Hong Kong and you just lived a long life, what good would it do if you didn't know what life was all about? How would it benefit you? And this is a question that we need to pose to these graduates, because you're going to live long, and like me, you're probably going to work long. I'll be retiring at the end of the month. Hallelujah. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Yes, Lord, I'm just enjoying the day. I'm counting down. My wife, she retired before me, but she's still working. Bless her heart. I'm going to wave bye-bye in the morning as she goes out. But how do you get a life? What is it that Jesus is speaking to us about? Do you get a life because you're going out and you're going to get a good job? A good job. People say, that's going to get a life. I'm going to make a career. I was reading in some HR information, HR journals, and they're saying that you would probably change jobs, where people maybe 50 years ago used to work one job for 40, 30 years. Now you will change job on the average every 3 to 5 years. You're going to have a lot of jobs. You're going to do a lot of things in life. So is getting a job, is getting a degree, is that going to help you? Yes, it will. And yes, the work does apply. I'll share that a little bit later in the message. But if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a reason, if you don't have a mission in life, as Hannah was talking about, looking up and seeing that cloud and having God to guide you, if you don't have that faith and hope to drive your life, you're going to find yourself, of all people, being miserable. Is getting a life mean that you'll live a life of pleasure? We've got a lot of it out here. The theme of the Isley Brothers has come true. People say it's your thing. Well, they're going to find out it's not your thing, but you can do what you want to do, but one day you're going to ask yourself, did I live well? One day the drug addicts will look up and they will ask themselves, did I live well? The people who've made mistakes abusing their bodies, they're going to ask themselves, did I live well? And it all boils down to one thing, finding a life. Finding a life. How do you find a life? Well, let's first question, why do people ignore this? And notice, as we read these verses, something happens in these verses. It says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And you would think that everybody would run to the light and said, oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for lighting up our lives. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for embracing us. But they have what I call the roach effect. Turn on the light, and the roach doesn't want to be seen. It wants to hide in a corner somewhere because it enjoys the darkness. Look at verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it, does not embrace it, does not pay attention to it. The darkness, in many cases, rejects it. Three things in this that we find about the rejection of the light. Why do people reject the light? If this light is the light of men, if this light is going to guide you, by the way, they used to have a soap opera on called The Guiding Light. It started off being very religious because they wanted people to have some form of guidance and direction, and it turned out to be very, very unreligious. Soap opera. Is your life going to be some drama lived out where you just go from day to day and you just say, well, you know what? Here's what my life is. But you don't have the light shining in you to give you light. You need the light. But why do people not receive the light? They don't receive it because, number one, they don't know about it. Darkness has a problem with the light because all it knows is darkness. Isaiah gave a prophecy when he said that in the regions of darkness, where there was great darkness, the light has shined. But then it has to be explained as to what it means, who it is, and how you can benefit from that light. People who wait for the light, who wait for the dawn, have an idea, have something that's happening within them where they understand when the light comes on, I'll be able to do something. When the light comes on, I'll be able to wake up. I'm sharing this with you today because obviously you are here at this early point in your life. You're at, what, age 18, maybe less than 20, maybe in your very early 20s, and you're asking yourself the question, what's going to happen with my life? A lot of us who are past 20, past 30, past 40, past 50, past 60, we're asking ourselves, okay, what's left? But you've got to be aware of the light. You've got to know what the light can do. And this verse brings out Jesus in such a way as the light of the world. In him was life, and it was light to those that behold it. Not just to some, but look at the verse. It says to everyone, look down at verse 9. It says, that was the true light, which lighteth everyone that comes into the world. The true light. Obviously, there are false lights. People go for fame, and they love to see their name in lights and say, okay, I can see it now. My name on a billboard, my name somewhere. You got to be careful that your name might not be in the post office. What does it mean to embrace the light? Some people don't embrace the light because they don't know it, but some people don't embrace the light because they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention because they're saying, well, I can get to God, I can get with God anytime, but right now I want to hang out with my friends. I want to do these things. I want to go here and I want to see the world. I want to sow my wild oats. Be careful with those wild oats. It might grow things that you may not want in your life. You got to embrace the light. You got to embrace this truth that God is calling us to. What is it about the life and how do you get a life? I find that there's the third state of man, not only not knowing and then not paying attention, but also there's the third state that people find themselves in. You can get so hardened by life that you get to the place where you just don't care. You lose hope. You value nothing. My life is not worth anything. Well, wait a minute. You didn't give yourself that light. God had to breathe into you. God had to give you breath. And if for nothing else, you appreciate what God has given you. Every morning that I get up, I take a deep breath and I said, God, thank you that I can take this breath. Other people have asthma. Other people have a lot of things, and you've given me lungs that I can breathe. One of the devastating things about COVID is that it got into your lungs where you couldn't breathe. Taking that breath, but then to know where that breath came from. How many of y'all can say with me, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Those who embrace the light, they can say, I have light in me, but I also have life in me. One of the words used for life was a term by the name that they call Zoe. Not just natural life, not just existing, not just saying, hey, I'm here. You know, it's kind of like some people, as they go through their journey in life, they're going to punch a time clock. And then when they get ready to leave this world, they're going to punch out. That's not what life is all about. Life is about, number one, experiencing God. Joseph Blackaby, I believe it was, wrote a book, a study guide about experiencing God. Having those moments where you are so aware that you are kept by a power that is with you, that guides you and directs you. A lot of people don't pay attention to that. But as you get older and you're going to say, Lord, help me. You're going to pray more than what you ever thought. Lord, help me. Lord, help me get out of bed. Lord, help me digest this food. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Then stuff you used to eat 20 years ago and enjoyed it, now you can't eat it. Come on, talk to me in here. Look at somebody, tell them, get a life. Jesus at another point says, life is not what you eat, it's not what you drink, it's not what you put on. If life is experiencing God, then certainly we need to know that God is real. To know that he cares deeply for us. This light did not have to appear to us, but it did. I'll tell you something else about this light. This light became incarnate, which means it got in a body, came down to this earth. Never say to God, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, he does. He went through the human sorrows. He went through the human suffering. He went through the challenges of life. He had to face things just like you and I, but he did not fail and he did not sin because he was God. He was God Almighty. And now he shines in your life and said, hey, if you want to live, if you want to get a life, hang out with me. What if we hung out with Jesus? What could we learn if we hung out with Jesus? We learn how to treat each other. Are y'all still here? We would learn how to share with others in this world. Are y'all here today? Everybody's trying to get and grab and get this and getting that. But life does not consist in the things that you possess. Life consists in the one who possesses you. You will find a good life in God. You will find a great life in God. You will find a happy life in God. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have to struggle. How many of y'all struggle as a believer? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes up and sometimes down. I used to wonder, what are these old folks saying? Talking about up and down. I thought they were talking about some kind of yo-yo. But then I started living, and I started realizing that every day it's not going to be a sunny day. But when you got the light on the inside, when you got joy on the inside, when you got peace on the inside, you don't worry about what you're facing. You don't worry about that. You get a life. You get a life because you learn to walk with God. 40 years, the children of Israel went on a journey from Egypt to the promised land. Should have taken them less than 2 weeks. But instead, it took them 40 years. Why? They couldn't get adjusted to the light. You know, it's like sometimes as Christians, we got to wear these sunshades. God, you're a little bit too bright. So I got to tone you down a little bit. I got to make sure that I can still see what I want to see. Are y'all here? Let the light shine upon you. Let the light shower you. Let the light embrace you. Let the light empower you to be the very best that you can. You can be a rascal any day. Are y'all still here? You can be a roach any day, right? Yeah, but you don't want to be that because that's not the best you. What I'm looking for in these graduates and our young people, I'm looking for the best you. Now, if you want to know what mistakes are out there, I'm a good teacher. I can teach you on what not to do. I can teach you that. But the opportunities are ahead of you. Because here's the thing that God gives. He not only gives you light so that you might know him and have fellowship with him, but like the children of Israel, they were to follow this light. It was in the form of a cloud. It kept them. It went everywhere they would go. When they would get up in the morning and if the cloud was moving, then they would move with the cloud, right? What's happening nowadays, we're not moving with the cloud, C-L-O-U-D. We're moving with the crowd, C-R-O-W-D. And we're looking for a light from our friends. We want them to accept us rather than God to acknowledge us. You got to make a choice. If you go with God, that cloud will overshadow you. Here's what happened. Some of the people got used to the cloud. You had Moses, you had Aaron, and you had Joshua, and you had Caleb. All of them were excited about the fact, man, we get to walk with God. We get to have fellowship with Him. We get to know Him and to serve Him and to love Him. There are others who wanted to stay with the crowd. They complained. They murmured. Basically, in the country, we call it belly aching. They bellyached all the way to Canaan. And some of them never got there because their complaining kept them in the wilderness. And they died in the wilderness. Is that getting a life? No, no, no. Getting a life is to go with God. Getting a life is to know that He's leading you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake, because He is God. Getting a life involves us resisting the temptation that comes our way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The light is not only going to light up the inside, but it's going to expose things. It's going to expose them. You shine the light, you're going to see stuff. Now, here's a choice that you have to make. Here's a choice that I have to make. Some of the things that I thought were real, real important when I started off on this journey, right now is not so important. What's important now is to acknowledge, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to spend my time? How can I honor you? My early prayers were something like this. Lord, I need you for this. I need you for that. Lord, come on and help me. Come on and bless me. Come on, give me. That was my early days because I had my own agenda. I had my own way of doing things. But then when I discovered that's not why you got God in your life. You got God in your life so that you would become a follower of His will and all of your ways to acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Are y'all still here? Getting a life means that when you walk with Jesus, people are not going to like you. Matter of fact, for no reason at all, people can start talking about you. But if you know, amen, that them talking about you, that's not what you need to worry about, because your record is in heaven. He's putting everything down. Let folk talk. They need to talk. But you remember who your Redeemer is, because you're walking in the light. Here's the point I want to make in this. When God begins to shine the light upon you and say, okay, you need to change this, you need to start working on it. You need to start acknowledging, okay, God, you're showing me something in my life so that I might grow, or something that I might get rid of, because if you keep it, it's sin. If you keep what He's telling you that you need to give up on, then it's sin. So young people, what you got to do, if you don't put stuff in your life, you ain't got to get rid of it. Amen? You won't have to say, well, okay, now I got to get over this. Let me give you an example. Okay, let me just give you a good example. I know y'all think I'm going to drinking right there. I ain't talking about nobody drinking today. But I'm saying, gossip is a learned art. Uh-oh, I stepped on somebody's toe, didn't I? Talking about people, running people down is a learned art. Now, I know young people, y'all say, we don't do that. We don't do what the old folk used to do. What do you call Facebook? What do you call Instagram and all this other stuff? Something happened to you, here you go. You telling everybody, guess what happened to me? Guess what they said to me and so-and-so? You can't live your life there. You will never get a life that way because you're looking at the wrong thing. You're paying attention to the wrong forces in your life. And let me tell you something. Everybody in this world got problems. And if you're going to get a life, you got to get over the fact that you know better than anybody else. I wish I could teach that to the world. Lastly, if you're going to get a life, you need to choose a path that God prepares for you. A lot of people will claim the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. They'll claim that part, but they won't claim the part, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. You can claim that part. If he's your shepherd, he's going to lead you. And if he doesn't lead you, he ain't your shepherd. Are y'all still here? Amen. You just might be a goat rather than a sheep. And a goat always going to butt heads with somebody. But when you got Jesus, he'll make you love everybody. Getting a life means getting connected with the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Getting a life is to choose a path where you are blessing to others. I think about someone that we had in this church. Not only did she, is she living long, but she lived well. Miss Ruby Ann Mickles, she's now a centenarian, over 100 years of age. She looks back over her life. She said, you know what? I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. Ruby Ann Mickles stood for many days teaching in the classroom. She didn't teach just writing and arithmetic and science and those things. She taught what was known as manners. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. She taught a thing called etiquette. You might not have the best clothes, but they were clean clothes. Are y'all still here? She taught young people how to get a life. And as a teacher, she poured herself into them so that they might come to a knowledge of who God was. Over half of her life, she spent in the classroom teaching children. And then after that, she contributed through her church and through her community. Ruby M. Mickles got a life. She got a good life. And we praise her today because she found that life in Christ. If I were to ask you a question today, yeah, give her applause, give her applause. If I were to ask you a question today and under this caption, what would you put? This is my life. That's the caption. This is my life. What would you put under that? If you can't put Jesus, you may as well put down the pen. If you cannot put the giver of life, the great shepherd, the mighty God, your keeper, your way maker, your burden bearer, your friend, your one who died for you on Calvary, if you can't put him on your list, I don't care what else you put, you won't have a life. But if you put him down, if you write his name, if you say the Lord is good, the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my shade on my right hand, if you put him down, everything else is going to fall in place. You know, I look at my own life. I'm not going to say I'm a great person, but I tell you what, I'm a blessed one, and I'll argue with anyone about that. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I've been blessed. Matter of fact, Brother Bolden, that's the reason why I wrote that song, I've been blessed today. Can't worry about what I had yesterday. Can't think too much about what I'm going to get tomorrow. I am blessed right now because of the goodness of God. I got a life. I know why I'm living. I know who woke me up this morning. I know. Do you know? I know who started me on my way. I know who gives me my next heartbeat. And guess what? If I wake up tomorrow, he's going to do the same thing because he's God. He's God. He is God. So think about that. Think about writing down, what is my life? What is your life all about? And if you don't write it with the pen, you will write it with your actions. So today, graduates, congregation, those listening online, can you say, I got a life? I got something to live for. All of this COVID mess doesn't get next to me. I'm going to my seat because I can look up and lift up my head. Know that my Redeemer lives. Jesus is going to come back one day. And I'm going to say to him, Lord, I got a life. I got a life because you gave it to me. I got a life because you have given yourself for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for this gift of life that comes through our knowledge of you. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. Thank God we're not in darkness anymore, because the light has consumed all of the darkness that was in us. We belong to you, and we are blessed by you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. That person right now that's struggling, that wants to acknowledge but doesn't know how, I pray that they would just humble themselves and cry out to God. Lord, you will forgive them, you will embrace them, and you will bring them to the light. Do that in their hearts the way you did in ours. And we'll give you praise, we will give you honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. Well, give the Lord a hand clap.